Hi Elsa, thank you very much for your time today. It's a pleasure to talk together.
Hi, Lebanon. Thank you for hosting me. It's a very nice experience, I'm sure, and I look forward to our discussions.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Elsa, in a nutshell, if you can tell me a little bit about yourself, what did you do before? What did you study, and what are you doing now?
Okay, sure. So basically, I studied engineering in Idlib, in Ajay, Lebanon. And then at the end of my studies, I wanted to explore something radically different, which was like more understanding of management and more the human side of it. So this is where I joined HEC Paris, where I studied for 3 years doing the master's in management. And at the end of it, I wanted to work in investment banking. So I mean, I did some internships along the way, and this is where I was like definitely heading. But last minute change, I decided to stay in Paris and work as a strategy consultant. So I worked for around 2 years in Paris at HC Kearney, and then moved to the region here, where I continued in strategy consulting with Boussin Company for around 2 to 3 years as well. In parallel, I had my first child, and I realized that actually being a full-time consultant, traveling 5 days a week was not really compatible with the life I wanted. So, and it happened that during this time, or actually during our time at HEC, my partner and I, so actually today my husband, and back then he was my classmate and my co-founder, we had decided to start a small venture in media called UNOSA. So basically, we wanted to become publishers because it was like back then it was just kind of the start of the digital era, the monetization of the publishing through advertising. And there, when we did a little bit of research, we realized that actually, compared to Europe, there weren't any portals in Arabic. And most importantly, portals that would create content, valuable content catering to women. So this is like the spot that we found, and we worked on UNOSA. Like it was not really our focus. It was always something that was on the side with our work. But I mean, it grew on its own, and then I mean, we got the first deal with an advertising agency, and this is where we realized that there was probably something happening. So I left my job at Booz and completely dedicated myself to growing the company. And soon later, we created another comparable company called Sahati, which is as well a portal but focused on health. So we just diversified the vertical. And we continued along the same path. It was very successful. We were able to actually create a very large community on social media, and then drive them back to the website for readership and for views, and thus for monetization. We started working on big campaigns with big brands, multinationals that wanted actually to cater to the region and to the readers of the region, whether female or male. And soon enough, we grew, and the team started to grow. We decided with another partner as well to diversify in video content production, because with the shift from desktop to mobile and from content, readership to viewership of videos, we realized that we needed to create videos for our readers. So we actually built up from scratch, video production capabilities, studios, equipment, and all of that, and started creating YouTube type of videos. Today, Lulia, who is the name of the brand on YouTube, has more than 2 million subscribers. UNOSA and Facebook have both more than 20 million followers on Facebook. They are still there. They are still media companies. However, in 2018, we decided that actually it was time to move away a little bit from the pure media and pure advertising monetization, because actually we realized that the content that we put there forward for the people to see and to consume was good, but not enough, since we always had questions like, okay, you're talking about these products, mainly beauty products, pharma beauty products, etc., but where can we get them from? So we realized that actually we had a lot of power in the community, and it would be more beneficial to us, for us to convert it into actually buyers. So we create the content, and this is actually was one of our formulas, so to create content around the product and then to make it available for people to buy through online e-commerce. And in 2018 and 19, we were born Lulia Closet and Sahati Care, which today are respectively an online beauty department and an online parapharmacy. Today, I'm the COO of Parallel, which is the holding company of all of these entities. And I'm responsible mainly for everything related to marketing and operations of these portals, media and e-commerce, in three countries, in Lebanon, in Jordan, and in Egypt.
Wow.
So,
it's an amazing story, and I have so many questions. I'm going to start with something very basic and a little bit personal, because I've been asked this question a little bit before. How does it feel, or what are the challenges of working with a partner? So you said that he was your partner, he was your classmate, and now he's your husband. Because some people love it, some people don't. I'm sure it comes with some difficulties or some challenges. Just in a nutshell, I don't mean to get into your personal details. Just in a nutshell, how does it feel?
I would say that first, it's very difficult. It's a very challenging thing to be being face to face 24/7 with your partner in life and at work. I think one of the things that helped us a lot was that before becoming a couple, we both in life and in the professional world, we were classmates, and we used to do our homework and our end of year projects together. So very early on, we got used to working together, and it's very particular, because each of us is very different, and we have a completely different way of working. Wasim is the 80-20. I'm the, you know, typical make it perfect and then present it. And that's really great, because I mean, in some areas, and actually we discovered it. This with the, you know, my experience, we realized that it's always better to put to put the talent where it is needed. You cannot be good at everything. Typically, for example, the same today is the CEO. He handles relationship with investors, everything related to financial consolidation and all of that. You know, the presentation, you know,
okay,
the relationship with everyone. And I'm more on the product. So we found our balance there.
All right. I'm sure it continues to be a little bit challenging, but as you said, there's a way to have the balance. And my other question is, so you did engineering and you continued a master's in one of the most prestigious schools in Europe, and you worked with Kearney and then with Booz. It's a typical path to become, a director or a partner in a consultancy firm, which we all know pays a lot of money. So this financial security or job security that you had, you gave it away, and I'm sure that you had the personal reasons. You had your first child, but was it difficult or a little bit scary to leave all of these things that many people dream of behind and jump into something and create it without knowing what might be the future?
It was actually very difficult. So as you mentioned, you always have the security of a very well-paid job. You know, you, of course, it's very demanding, but it's secure. When you start being you're an entrepreneur, you leave all of that behind. It's risky every day. There are a lot of months where you don't even get paid your own salary because you prefer to invest it
of
in
course,
something
yeah.
else, which is actually, I'm sure a lot of us, I mean, went through this, and I know it's not a very good practice, but it happens. I think what was a little bit more scary was the fact that, as I mentioned before, we are a family in this. So Usually, whenever one of it's not a, I mean, it's not a criteria, but you always have someone to lean on whenever things don't go very well in your own. But here, both of us are like risk takers. So when you are in a context where it's very risky, you're raising a family, you have a lot of expenses, and you are both an entrepreneur, actually, you're I mean, you don't have any backup. So it's a lot of people tell us you're really crazy to do that, especially in Lebanon, especially with the context and all of that. But we're passionate about it. I mean, I can't imagine myself doing anything else. So
right.
I think that's
I do have another question, and it's mainly for entrepreneurs who did their first stage of a company and then they want to move over. So today, Lula Plus is one of the very well-known brands in Lebanon and in the Middle East. And what you've done with your partner is by all means, an amazing success story and an example of resilience, of pivoting, of listening to the market, of being smart. So you did something amazing. But today, when you started small, and then you changed a little bit, you pivoted a little bit, and then you grew. And I know that in each different stage, there's a different challenge. For example, in the first stage, the challenge is, you know, to get the product up and running and get some users to buy it and actually pay for it. The second stage is to, you know, recruit some team, maybe grow a little bit, maybe start having a little bit more money. And I think that you passed all these stages, and now you're in a stage of growth and expansion, which is a stage that some people are afraid of. For you, I think I'm just thinking out loud. I know you passed through 3-4 different stages until you got where you guys are today. Which one was most critical or more scary? How do you see them?
I think the current stage is the most scary, actually, the growth stage.
Sorry for opening the fatahat, as we say.
Because actually in this stage you have a product that is working, you have a market product fit, you have everything that is working, but still the equilibrium is very fragile, and this is where you need the most the most funding and capabilities. And it's not always easy because I mean, historically the situation was better, I would say, like in the market where we operate today. Egypt is a difficult market because of inflation, of capital controls. Lebanon, obviously, Jordan is a small market. So actually, the challenge today is, of course, to have a product that is good and that is strong, but that most importantly, you are able to export and export in growing markets. So the challenges become really different and harder. So, I mean, it's not enough anymore to have a product that works. You need it to work not only in your core market, in other markets that are difficult, that are more competitive, and you need at the same time to achieve, break even and to be profitable. So there are a lot of conditions for you to be able to access funding, especially when you come from the region and from Lebanon. So yeah, this time is the hardest.
Last question, Elsa, and I'm going to let you go. Sorry, I had a shway wet actor from. If an entrepreneur is listening now, what advice would you give? Like, I know that there you might have maybe hundreds of advices, but like, if you want to choose one advice, what would you tell them? They're just starting, they just want to do something. What would you tell them?
I would say, surround yourself with good people, with people who want to stick with you in difficult times. I think that's the most important thing. Being really having a good co-founder, having a good team. First, I would suggest that everyone who is a solo player to find like this matching partner with a complementary set of skills, of capabilities. It's always good to be a team. And to be a strong team, maybe take the time to find the right partner because they will be with you along the way. And it's actually a very lonely, I would say, it's a very lonely experience. So you need to be well surrounded. Yeah.
Excellent. Elsa, thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking to you. Courage.
Thank you.
Best of luck.
Thank you. Same to you. looking forward to Kamana listening to the other your other invitees to the
أكيد
podcast.
أكيد. We'll share with you everything. Thank you very much.
Thanks.